This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. I'm glad to welcome all of you to this place on this third Sunday of Advent. I'm especially glad to welcome you if you're visiting with us for the first time. We hope that you feel welcome here and that you have a chance to meet some of the friends sitting around you, and that you feel the love and the hospitality of Christ in this place. One of our practices as a congregation is to sign in every Sunday, so there are registration pads at the end of the row on this side and heading out that way and also in the transepts. And if you're visiting with us and would be willing to sign in and share an email address or a mailing address, that will allow us to be in touch with you and let you know some of the ways we're trying to live out God's love in our community. Just a few announcements as we gather this time of year. This is the last Sunday that we'll have our missions market going on in Reed Hall. It's a great opportunity if you have people that you're still trying to figure out what to get them for a gift. The things that are available there make a difference in people's lives. So I invite you to take a look at some of the things that are out there. Christmas Eve is approaching next Sunday, and we will have one morning service at 11 o'clock, no Sunday school. We'll celebrate the fourth Sunday of Advent on that morning, and then we'll celebrate Christmas Eve at 4 o'clock and at 10:30 p.m. The 4 o'clock service is especially geared for children, but everybody's welcome. It's a great service for all ages, so we'd love for you to come at that time. We'll also have communion in that service. And then at 10:30 p.m., we'll have our traditional service, and probably most children will be in bed by then, so it'll be mostly grown-ups at that point. Also on December 31st, we will have one Sunday morning service at 11 o'clock with no Sunday school. And then at 6:30 p.m., upstairs in the theater, we'll have a service of Taizé worship. Throughout this season of Advent, we have heard the word of hope, the word of comfort, and today we hear a word of justice from our God who loves justice. So let us open our hearts and minds to worship this God as we await the coming of our Savior.
The King shall come and morning dawns and light and beauty bring. Hail Christ, the Lord, thy people pray.
Thank you. love has come down to us this Advent season.
Divine love, which heals and transforms our lives.
With great joy, we receive that love and share it with others.
We open our hearts to all God's children, the last, the least, and the lost, as well as those who feel privileged.
The Lord has done and continues to do great things for us.
Praise be to God, who loves us so much, and who challenges us to be people of joy in this darkened world.
Please be seated.
We light this third candle of our Advent wreath as a sign of the justice of Christ coming into our world. Hear these words from the Psalms. When the Lord restored the fortunes of Zion, we were like those who dream. Then our mouth was filled with laughter and our tongue with shouts of joy. May those who sow in tears reap with shouts of joy. Those who go out weeping, bearing the seed for sowing, shall come home with shouts of joy, carrying their sheaves.
Let us confess our sins to the one who searches us and knows us. Patient and forgiving God, you know we want to be people of peace and justice, but when opportunities come to participate in groups working for justice, we turn our backs and walk the other way, or we give a token pledge and then ignore further pleas for assistance. We hide our names from appearing on rolls of supporters of justice-seeking organizations. Forgive us, O God, when we give only lip service to ministries of justice rather than pledging our lives to helping all people in need. Free us from our selfishness, banish our fears, and move us in ways of peace and justice, bringing your love and hope to all God's children. We ask these things in God's name. Amen. Rejoice. You who once lived in darkness, on you a new light is shining, and the light of God's glory shall brighten your path. You are healed, loved, and forgiven. Be at peace. Live in God's love and bring hope and justice to all God's people. As a forgiven and reconciled people, let us now exchange signs of reconciliation and love. The peace of Christ be with you.
Let us pray together the prayer for illumination. Holy God, help us to give voice to the wonderful news. You yourself are coming to dwell among us. Quicken our imagination to find new and creative ways to proclaim Christ's coming. Amen. A lesson from Isaiah. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me. He has sent me to bring good news to the oppressed, to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and release to the prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, to provide for those who mourn in Zion, to give them a garland instead of ashes, the oil of gladness instead of mourning, the mantle of praise instead of a faint spirit. They will be called oaks of righteousness, the planting of the Lord to display his glory. They shall build up the ancient ruins. They shall raise up the former devastations. They shall repair the ruined cities, the devastations of many generations. For I, the Lord, love justice. I hate robbery and wrongdoing. I will faithfully give them their recompense, and I will make an everlasting covenant with them. Their descendants shall be known among the nations, and their offspring among the peoples. All who see them shall acknowledge that they are the people whom the Lord has blessed. I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My whole being shall exult in my God. For he has clothed me with the garments of salvation. He has covered me with the robe of righteousness, as a bridegroom decks himself with a garland, and as a bride adorns herself with her jewels. For as the earth brings forth its shoots, and as a garden causes what is sown in it to spring up, so the Lord God will cause righteousness and praise to spring up before all the nations. The word of God for the people of God.
the grown-ups to be seated and children of any age to come on forward. One of my very earliest memories was from Christmas morning when I was 4 years old. I may have been five, I can't quite remember, but I was either four or five. And I woke up in the morning, my eyes opened up, and my brother and my two sisters were all looking over my bed. And they said, "Carol, come downstairs. You got your sew magic. You got your sew magic." And you may not know what a sew magic is. That was the toy that I wanted so much that year. It's like this little plastic sewing machine that used glue instead of needles and thread. It didn't work very well, but boy, I wanted one. And I got one. And my siblings were so excited to tell me the good news that I had gotten this gift that I had wanted. They were more excited about that than they were about their own presents that year. I think about how fun it is sometimes to share good news. Maybe you've had a chance to do that. Maybe you got to tell someone in your class, "Hey, the teacher brought cupcakes today." Or maybe you got to tell someone in your family, "Hey, I'm gonna have a baby brother. Hey, we're getting a dog." Sometimes it's fun to be the one to share good news. Well, in our Bible lesson for today, God is excited to share good news, and God wants us to share good news with other people. Thank you. God wants us to share the good news that everybody is important to God and that everybody is loved by God. And that's really what Christmas is all about, that God loves us so much that God came to be one of us in Jesus. So maybe this week you can be the one to share that good news with somebody who needs to know that they're loved. Let's pray together. Dear God, we know and believe that you love everybody so much. We thank you that you have given us the chance to share that good news. So help us to find somebody this week who may be sad or lonely, in need of a hug, and let us be good news and share your love with them. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you all so much. You can go back and join your parents or grandparents or friends. I know for a lot of our children, this is such an exciting and fun time of year. But for those who are teenagers and college students, I think we're right in the middle of exams. I know I have one in my household who better be spending a lot of time this afternoon studying for his exams. So if you are one of those who's preparing either to take an exam or to grade a bunch of exams, I apologize because I want to talk just a minute about ancient history. I want to talk a little bit about the Persian Empire. I don't know how much you know about the Persian Empire, but I remember studying the Persian Empire in ancient history class, and I thought it was just fascinating. The Persian Empire was, up until its time, the greatest empire the Western world had ever seen. It went all the way from Egypt to India. They were the first empire to have an organized bureaucracy and to require a shared language, all sorts of great stuff to learn about that powerful empire. Cyrus the Great, who was the emperor, and all of the buildings and the archaeology. So if you want to know more about the Persian Empire, you can take a class in ancient history, you can read textbooks, you can even go to Wikipedia, you can find all sorts of sources. But there's one book that's not going to tell you much about the Persian Empire, and that's the Bible. Even though much of what happens in the Bible took place during that era of the Persian Empire, the people who wrote down our scriptures were not interested in empire. It was during those days when Cyrus the Great came into power and the Persians conquered the Babylonians that Cyrus the Great decided to send home the Jewish captives whom the Babylonians had taken into exile. But what the scriptures tell us is the story of those captives. The scriptures are more interested in telling us about this little band of people with whom God created a special covenant, a people that were, for most of their history, the oppressed minority. They had been slaves in Egypt, and for a little while they had their own king and their own nation, but it wasn't long before they were conquered by the Assyrians and conquered by the Babylonians and then conquered again by the Persians, then the Greeks, then the Romans. But God's story is not one of empire. God seems more interested in the story of the oppressed, the invisible, the forgotten ones. For in those days of Cyrus the Great, God called forth a prophet who said, "The Spirit of the Lord God, the sovereign God, is upon me, for the Lord has anointed me to bring good news to the poor, to bring good news to the oppressed, to proclaim freedom for the captives, and liberation for all of those who have been in bondage, to proclaim healing for the brokenhearted." The prophet announces where God's attention has been among those who have been oppressed and forgotten and lost in the midst of that great empire. Fast forward 500 years. Now we're in the Roman Empire. And boy, there's a lot to say and a lot to learn about that grand empire. And sitting on the throne of that empire is the great Caesar Augustus. And right under his nose, in a little faraway land of Judea, there is a baby born to a peasant girl and her faithful betrothed, finding themselves as refugees in a city that is not their home, having to go there because the great Caesar Augustus has deemed it so. And yet the God of the universe chooses in that moment of history to reveal God's self, not in Rome, not in the palaces of the powerful empire, but in the countryside among a poor peasant people. And the first people who get to hear that good news proclaimed by all of the angels are shepherds who really have nobody to tell. And even those they told wouldn't believe them because shepherds' testimony weren't even allowed in courts. Fast forward a few more years. That child has grown up and become a man. And he walks through the doors of the synagogue of Nazareth, his hometown, to preach his first sermon, to launch his ministry as the Son of God. And he opens up the scroll to the book of Isaiah and reads these words: "The Spirit of the sovereign Lord God is upon me, for God has anointed me to bring good news to the poor, to announce release to the captives and liberation to the oppressed." And he went about the countryside of Galilee, way far away from the throne of Rome, and he welcomed the tax collectors and the prostitutes, and he touched the lepers and healed them, and he sought the least and the last and the lost, and proclaimed that among them was the kingdom of God. Fast forward 2,000 years, and here we are, the followers of Christ, the bearers of the good news of Christ, who is coming to be born once again in our hearts and in our world. And where is our attention during this season? I don't know about you, but it's easy for me to get caught up in the empire, in the power plays of our world, and want to be near the important people and the wealthy and those who are noticeable in our world. But the voice of the prophet rings true and calls us to remember that God is a God who loves justice And God is present and reaching out to give good news to the poor and the invisible and the oppressed who are right under our noses. Do we see them? Do I see them? A few years ago, I had my eyes opened in a way they had never been opened before, to see some of the lost and the poor and the oppressed right here in our community. I was with a group of pastors, and we had an opportunity to meet a woman named Clemmy Greenlee. I don't know how many of you know Clemmy or have heard her story. She grew up in Nashville, just like I did. She's a few years older than I am, but on that Christmas morning when I was getting my sew magic, she was having a very different childhood. At the age of 8, she began being abused by the men in her neighborhood and in her family. And at the age of 12, she was taken from her neighborhood and forced into prostitution. She was a victim of human trafficking right here in this neighborhood. And she spent 30 years being taken all over the country. Everywhere there was a Super Bowl or a big football game or wherever it might be, she was forced to work. At a certain age, she had aged out of that work, and so the men who had forced her into it abandoned her. One of the ways they had kept her enslaved was by giving her drugs and getting her addicted. So she had no hope, no place to go. She couldn't find any healing. But she had one friend who had been in the same situation alongside of her and had been liberated from that. This friend had discovered the ministry of the Magdalene House. Some of you are familiar with the great ministry that the Magdalene House does. Out in Reed Hall, the Thistle Farms is an outgrowth of that ministry, and they're selling some of their products that they make as part of that ministry. This friend of hers went once a week to find Clemmy wherever she was on the streets, and she'd put a card in her hand with the phone number to Magdalene House. And Clemmy says it was when she got about 99 of those cards that she felt the Spirit of God with her saying, "Make this phone call." And she did. And she was discovered and found and embraced by that community and given a new life and new hope. And now she goes out and shares her story and is working hard every day to liberate others who are oppressed by this system. And the thing that got to me most as I was listening to her story was when she said, "You know, this was my life for 30 years and nobody saw me. Nobody came looking for me. I dropped out of school and none of the school officials cared or looked for me to find where I was. None of my family came looking for me. The people in the church didn't come looking for me." And I was so convicted by that because I was growing up in this same city and I didn't know and I didn't see. But now I know, and now I've seen. And the question I hear from the prophet speaking the word of the Lord this morning is, how are we going to be bearers of this good news for the poor and the oppressed and the brokenhearted in our midst? Maybe when we go through the line at Walmart, we don't need to be so concerned about whether the cashier says Happy Holidays or Merry Christmas. That's really an empire question. Maybe the question we need to wonder about is, what is this man's name? What's his story? Is he being paid a living wage? Do his kids have a school they can go to where they're getting a good education and are safe? Does he have access to doctors and health care? Maybe our challenge, our invitation from the prophet is to see the people around us and to wonder and to pray about, God, what can I do to be good news to my neighbors? I invite you now to stand as you're able and join with me as we affirm our faith in the Christ who was born in poverty and gives us all salvation and grace. Page 889 in our hymnals. There is one God and there is one mediator, Christ Jesus, who came as a ransom for all, to whom we testify. The saying is sure and worthy of full acceptance, that Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners and was manifested in the flesh, vindicated in the spirit, seen by angels, proclaimed among the nations, believed in throughout the world, taken up in glory. Great indeed is the mystery of the gospel. Amen.
As we continue in an attitude of prayer, we lift up our joys and concerns as an offering to God. If you have a prayer request and you'd like to be lifted up in prayer this week, please fill out the gray card in front of you and put it in the offering plate in a few moments. Please note if you'd like to be contacted and then put your contact information there. We have two roses on the altar this morning in celebration of two births. Augustus Graves Nielsen was born December the 6th to Josie and Andrew Nielsen. He is welcomed also by his big brother, Barrick. Forrest Denyla Nicole Balthazar was born on December the 10th to Jonathan and Nikisha Balthazar. She is welcomed also by her grandmother, Edwina Balthazar. And our deepest sympathies are extended to three families this morning. Lynn and Frank Clement are mourning the death of Lynn's mother, Maxine Moore, who died December the 7th in Greenville, South Carolina. Davis and Melora Turner and their family are mourning the death of Davis's brother, Andrew Stewart Turner, who died December the 12th in McKinley, Texas. And longtime Weston member June Marjorie Webster died December the 13th. A memorial service was held at Marshall Donley and Combs Funeral Home on Saturday, December the 16th. Among her survivors is her brother, Medford Webster. Let us continue to turn to God in prayer. The Lord be with you. Let us pray. Gracious God, you bring glad tidings to the poor. Let us hear. You heal the brokenhearted. Make us whole. You free the prisoners from their captivity. Free us from ourselves. Loving God, as we wait for your appearing in final victory, guide us to participate with the seeds you plant and grow on earth. Guide us to end poverty. Work in us to bring wholeness and broken spaces and places. May we comfort those in grief, hold hope for those who despair, and create peace in our communities, especially those still divided by race, class, and politics. Sometimes it's hard to believe that your promises in Isaiah 61 will come for us or will come through us. This is why we wait, prepare, hope, and long for Jesus to break through our unbelief and sin. Thank you, God, for being born again and again in our lives, so that when we experience your peace, wholeness, and freedom, it extends to the world, bringing about your kingdom on earth as it is in heaven. May we set our intentions once again for this task, as we pray the prayer you taught us, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us.
and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
In this season of gift giving, let us remember the source of all our gifts and return our tithes and offering with praise and thanksgiving.
Thank you. invite Erica Brandon to come forward. I'd like to introduce you to Erica Brandon and her daughter, Cassie Phelps. Erica is, she works at the Vanderbilt Center for Teaching, and Cassie is 9 years old and in the third grade. And Erica grew up, she's a lifelong United Methodist, grew up in Michigan, and attended church in Denver, Colorado, and most recently was a member of Govan United Methodist Church in Greencastle, Indiana. Erica and Cassie are both members of our choirs. We're glad to have them among us. Erica, as a member of the body of Christ in this congregation, called to be the loving light of Christ in the world, will you faithfully serve Christ in this place through your prayers, your presence, your gifts, your service, and your witness? If so, say, I will. Congregation, will you please stand and join me in affirming our newest members? Brothers and sisters in Christ, Erica and Cassie are now entrusted to your love and care. Do all in your power to increase their faith, confirm their hope, and perfect them in love. We give thanks for all that God has already given you, and we welcome you in Christian love, as members together with you in the body of Christ and in this congregation of the United Methodist Church. We renew our covenant to participate faithfully in the ministries of the church by our prayers, our presence, our gifts, our service, and our witness, that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. I invite you to greet Erica and Cassie after our service through the doors to your right. And now may the God of all grace strengthen you by the connecting and transforming power of the Holy Spirit, that together we may be the loving light of Christ in the world. Amen.
Thank you.
We go from this place rejoicing in the good news that Christ has come into the world with hope and comfort and justice, and we go bearing that good news with joy to all the world. Amen.